there. I go out walking after midnight.
Called the design review board meeting of. And roll call, please.
Chair Schneider.
Here.
Vice Chair Smith.
Here.
Member Branch.
Here.
Member Carroll.
Here.
Member Heinlein. Member Shaler.
Present.
Alternate Dennis Whalen.
Here.
Thank you.
Meeting minutes for April 28th.
Move to approve minutes.
I'll second.
Any comments?
I had none.
Seeing none, I don't think I had any.
Actually, I will go ahead and add a comment, and this is under F, announcements by members. Member Branch recommended the staff work with applicants in the future to provide only the drawings that are pertinent for DRB to view. I was just wondering if that was in response to the voluminous packet material
Completely.
That we had been. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
For Village at Los Canales, yeah.
Yeah.
I'd rather have a little bit more than not too much, but that was definitely
right. I agree, but I mean, we were there for final review, and based on the things we were looking at, it's like we didn't need 200 sheets of civil drawings, and you know what I mean?
Yes, I do. Thank you.
Although it puts the burden on staff to know what we need to see, but good luck with that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, so carried. Planning Director report.
Hi, Mr. Chair, members, good afternoon. So we'll talk about your summer schedule, your upcoming schedule. The next meeting, which is, you're supposed to have a meeting on June 9th. The council had to shuffle some dates around, so we're actually canceling June 9th. We only had one item that was able to be moved to the next meeting, the June 23rd. So that leaves you with one meeting in June, July, and August. And we do have a few items coming up that if they come together, we may need to ask that you hold another July meeting. And so we'll give you, so to bring back the first July meeting. So we'll let you know if that happens. But if, for the meantime, you have one meeting in June, July, and August. Okay? Mm.
Okay.
And then just a quick reminder, just to make sure, since we don't have a full board right now, that you give me a heads up if you can't make a meeting, just make sure we have a quorum.
Okay.
And that's all. Thank you.
And review of agenda?
Your agenda is pretty light today, so everything goes. Just a note on the agenda, it does say that your next meeting is June 9th, and we just discussed that will be canceled.
Okay, thank you. And at this point, there's an opportunity for the public to speak on any item that is not on today's agenda. Is there anybody in the audience who would like to speak at this time? Seeing none, we will move on to the sign calendar.
Thank you, Chair. The sign subcommittee convened, myself and Aaron Carroll, and we had two items to look at. The first one, E1 7127 Hollister Avenue, Suite 110, the Fit Body Boot Camp wall sign. We looked it over, and just in short, the size of the sign, size of the lettering was in conformance with the plaza's overall sign plan. It's just that they had never designated that particular location for a sign. There was nothing in the OSP that forbade a sign being there, although nothing has specifically said it could be there. But based upon this was a second story unit, and it's just an entry door on the first floor and then a stairway that goes up there. And because of the mature trees in the area there, that appeared to be about the best place to put the sign. So based on that, we gave them design. We gave them the design approval for that sign. It's not lit. I'm sure you guys have looked over the design on in your packets. But anyways, yeah, we gave them approval. And then E2...
Okay, before we go on, let's do them one at a time, just in case something happens, so...
Yes.
Bill?
I just wanted to ask, in terms of the layout of the Pacific Oaks there, if there's potential for other second-story signage as well, because that appeared to me like it would be more visible than some of the other signage that's located on the ground level.
Well, the stuff on the ground level is meant for ground-level units, and that's along that parapet front that we see there. The only other location that's similar to that is another unit. There's like, if you were to look at it from the street, there's the down below, you know, the first floor with that parapet, and then this thing goes up to a second floor and slopes down. Mm-hmm. And over here, there's an open walkway that goes through. Mm-hmm. And right on the other side, there's a similar arrangement. However, where the sign would go on this one, over there, there's already an architectural feature, like a little gable roof front that projects out of the building. So while a sign could go there, it would not be as big, and it may actually be able to be placed farther down along beside it, kind of in the manner, like on the front side of the property, mm-hmm. where it says the plaza.
Yeah.
Then down below, there's a dentist up there, and then he has his sign kind of below where the window is, where his place is. So.
Thanks for that explanation.
Oh, you're welcome.
Mr. Chair, we will need a full board vote on the sign items.
So was that a motion? No, not from her, from you. I need a motion.
Oh, a motion. I make a motion for approval.
Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So carried. And I assume that was approval as submitted.
Yes.
Okay.
And then item E2, 6868 Cortona Drive, overall sign plan. This case came to us back in April, and then after we were done with it, it went to the zoning administrator, and the zoning administrator approved it and then sent it back to us. And the only thing I think, and I had to get refreshed on what we talked about, and I think the only thing we really talked about a lot was the one second floor tenant on the side facing Stork and where that sign goes. Placing it farther down on the building on the first floor was explained to us was actually on space belonging to another tenant, and so it couldn't go there, and that this was pretty much the only place. So we recommended approval of that one as well.
And Bill?
I did a site visit to try and understand the layout. I guess I didn't understand that there might be greater visibility by the placement of a second story tenant sign there as you come over the overpass. Would that be visible? Because the rest of the signage that I think is located within that corporate area is just only visible to people in that immediate area who are looking for directions, not for promotional visibility.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry, I didn't back up. But yeah, it's up on the second floor. And about the only place it's visible from is going to be Stork.
And what size are the letters?
And I don't remember.
12 inches?
Yeah.
Okay.
On the plans submitted, they were pretty innocuous.
Right.
And the illumination is?
There is none.
There is none.
I believe that's correct, right? Yeah, they're not illuminated.
Is there potential for other similar signage on that building that will be able to be seen from Stork Road, or
not
is this the one opportunity?
Yeah, that's they're not according to the overall sign plan that they were asking us to approve. That's the only one.
Yeah, the sign plan laid out all the
locations of the signage. Mm-hmm. So it would only be that one that would be located on that second story.
Right.
Any further discussion? Do we have a motion?
I would like to move again for approval.
Second?
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. Approved as submitted. Mm-hmm. Next item is F1. Linda, could you read the item?
Yes. Item F1 is the Verizon Wireless cell site located on the south side of Cathedral Oaks Road and east of Alameda Avenue, case number 15049 DRB.
Okay, can I have declarations?
Been to the site, no ex parte conversations.
Sam here.
I have visited the site, not spoken to anybody.
I did not visit the site, and no ex parte.
And I visited the site and have had no ex parte. So with that, do you want to make a presentation, Joe?
Good afternoon. Today we have a request for conceptual review for a small wireless facility to be located on an existing utility pole in the public right-of-way. The equipment will consist of one antenna and other equipment on the pole, as well as one ground-mounted equipment cabinet. This project requires a conditional use permit, which will require to go before the Planning Commission for approval. And so that would go after the completion of the conceptual review. And at this point, I'm available if you have any questions, and the applicant is here if you have anything to add.
Nope, I'm open for questions.
Okay.
Okay, I have a quick question. A while back, there's another cell company came through here, and they were using a highly miniaturized setup, very similar to what, is this the same kind of technology? Is Verizon moving into this into this sort of thing now too?
I can't speak to the other carrier's technology. Without looking at it,
yeah.
Or knowing.
No, yeah.
I need your.
The technology is called, sorry, the technology that we're using here is small cell.
Okay.
So it is,
yeah.
It's a smaller, yeah. It also covers a much smaller area.
Right.
So in this case, it'll cover between 200 and 1,000 feet.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Anybody else?
Bill? I'm sorry. I was making sure I had written down the comments that I had here. Maybe that's a better understanding, and this would be to staff, is why this goes to the DRB for concept review when it hasn't been to the Planning Commission for approval.
Well, the process basically starts with conceptual review to get a general idea of what the site would look like, to get the broader comments, and then it goes to Planning Commission for after review of the entitlement.
Would they review what is initially proposed to us, or what might change after our comments?
They'd review what would the revisions based on your guys' comments.
And my question for the applicant, is there any possibility that this pole would be used for other carriers for co-location possibilities, or is this just one pole for one carrier?
It's not likely that it would be used by another carrier just because of the Geo 95 separation requirements that we need. So if another carrier wanted to locate on it, they'd have to make accommodations as far as separation between not only carriers, but the existing utilities that are there as well. So it may require increasing the height of the pole, which may not be in line with what's existing there, or might not be suitable without replacing a couple of other poles, or replacing the pole itself with a much thicker pole.
What about using another adjacent pole?
Well, the problem with that is that some of the carriers use similar basically wavelength, mm-hmm. Radio frequencies, so they can cause interruptions. So It depends. Some of the carriers, they don't cause interruption between them. Some do. So it depends on which carrier it would be.
Yeah, I mean, my experience so far is that these types of installations typically do not, or at least we haven't had any, come into the city where one carrier's adding new antennas onto the same location. I don't think we've seen any of that in the city yet, at least for this type of antenna, the smaller ones. For the bigger ones, I believe we have.
You know, I just wanted to note that there's the box that will be placed, the utility box will be above ground. Mm-hmm. I guess it's not possible to place that below ground?
No. The pedestal is actually a meter. So much like the functions pretty much like your power meter at home. So staff needs to be able to access it. The power company is, that box is just providing power to the equipment there.
So it couldn't be read if it were flat, flush with the ground?
Yeah,
surface?
And the equipment's not, it's not made to be undergrounded because it is electrical.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more of a hazard, and there is no such design that I'm aware of or that I've discussed with staff as of last week. Okay. That would allow for that.
I had a question for staff as I drove along Cathedral Oaks in that area. There are a lot of above ground utilities, backflow restrictors, traffic intersection control boxes, other utility boxes. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, this kind of sort of adds to the proliferation, which is kind of incongruous with Cathedral Oaks being classified as a scenic corridor. I guess as these projects continue to come forward, these things will continue to be cited, and there'll be kind of this incremental effect of more uses in a scenic area. Has the high school been contacted about this, and did they have any comments regarding this project?
They were within the noticing area, but I did not receive any comments from the school.
And is there? I know that we go to great lengths to try and other projects provide screening for these kinds of things, and even for trash enclosures, but in this case it seems like they're along Cathedral Oaks, these things have just been allowed to exist as they are. Is there any potential for any screening so that we could start to move in the right direction?
Sure.
I mean, I'm glad to hear that then. I mean, that would maybe make a difference. I mean, it's
going
to be painted green. It's not going to be that ostentatious.
Yeah. In other jurisdictions, we do landscape around it. Though there's only some limitations where we have to provide for the power companies to be able to open the fronts and the backs of them, which I think is just a 3-foot clearance on either side, the front and the back, and then we can plant something usually California native, drought tolerant.
There is access to our recycled water system in that corridor as well.
So if you would like, we could. Yeah,
an oak tree.
Well, I just bring that up because I see that really hasn't been successfully utilized elsewhere along this Cathedral Oaks corridor, and maybe this might be an opportunity to do it that way.
Yeah.
So thanks for my comments.
I know that when that other company was here like a year, 2 years ago, one of the things I think we did that worked with them was kind of a camouflage painting where like the stuff running up and down the pole was something similar to match the pole. And anyways, it seemed to work okay.
Yeah, we typically try and paint the all the equipment to match the pole. Mm-hmm. In this case, it's a utility pole, so they paint everything brown. But when there's installation on streetlights, we paint everything that mm-hmm. gray or the marble light, whichever is applicable.
Yeah. Mr. Chair, I'd like to respond to Member Sheeler's comments. That this is the reason the process that this project has to go to the Planning Commission, because it's not a given, you know, right, and that the Commission will have to make findings, and which is why it comes to you for conceptual, so you can bring some recommendations, like just as you spoke of. So just wanted to.
I just hope that it's not applied because the Design Review Board provides comments, either supporting or not supporting the project, that it feels that it's a fait accompli by the time it gets to the Planning Commission, and because they're the ones who really have the ultimate discretion as to whether this project goes forward or not, regardless of our comments.
But as the process, your comments will be taken to them as recommendations.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah, I would, in the past, I would agree we've required the equipment mounted to the pole to be painted out with to match the pole as closely as possible. And I think in this case, I'd be up for the idea of the landscaping, because I think it's a fairly open area without too much there. So it'd be nice to kind of screen that box with some kind of native plant. I don't know if our illustrious landscape person will want to chime in on that at the moment, or if we can just say it will need to be landscaped and have them come back for final after they've been to the Planning Commission. That's my comments.
I, to follow up on that, I would say something that's not going to die out there. It's obviously not going to be maintained very well. Right. Maybe a native grass that's going to get 4 feet high, a swath of it.
Right. Hopefully it won't get mowed down every...
yeah, that's true.
every spring or whatever they do that.
Yeah, this box will probably be more visible in the summer than it wouldn't be in the winter.
Right. Any other comments?
No, I agree with what you guys have said. I mean, they're obviously going to paint the equipment to match the pole, and that's what we've asked to have happen. And, you know, if we can landscape around it, great. And if something prevents that, then having it green like it's shown would be my preference.
Okay. Any further discussion? Somebody want to try a motion?
Scott's comments were just kind of a motion right there with the particulars in there.
All right,
in terms of the pole in there.
I will move for conceptual. Would this be approval or just conceptual?
Conceptual review.
We've just completed conceptual review, right, with the comments that the equipment on the pole matches the color of the pole, and that the electrical meter pedestal be screened with landscaping if possible, and if not, to be painted green as shown in the application documents.
Okay. Anybody want to try a second on that?
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? So carried. So you will go. You will take this to the Planning Commission. So do we want? Do
so
we
it goes
know,
off calendar now. Is that the deal?
Do we have to take it off calendar to do that? Okay. Okay. Thank you. Announcements by members.
I did have one announcement. Potentially for people who are watching us on Channel 19, there has been some community interest about the proposed California Highway Patrol site on Hollister and Western Goleta. It's a state decision. The Department of General Services will actually decide the fate of that project, but it might be worthwhile for people who are interested to contact the Department of General Services up in Sacramento to see if Goleta could have a little bit more input on this project than was heretofore given, and maybe even potentially given the design review board a chance to take a look at the project and make sure that there's some sort of neighborhood compatibility if it would ever come to fruition.
Where's the site?
If I believe correctly, it's off of Hollister down towards what we called Haskell's Landing.
It's where the Bacara overflow parking occurs, kind of across from the Sandpiper Golf Course.
Right, exactly.
On the north side of Hollister.
Okay. Yeah.
Right. Got it. Okay. Any other announcements? Well, with that, meeting adjourned, and a good afternoon to you all.